Good morning and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, January 29th, 2009. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620, or email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I have a confession to make. I did not know how to use Skype properly, and there had been people who had called in on that number, and I did not retrieve the telephone numbers, and some of them go back to last August. My goodness gracious, am I inefficient and I guess ignorant of what is going on technically around here? I'm going to try to make that up. Folks, I encourage you also, that's a confession. I shouldn't confess to anything. I should tell everyone I'm perfect. I don't want to break this image of mine, you know, shatter the image of myself. Oh my goodness gracious, some of the things I do. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com, and that's not a live, but that's just a they record it, and then you can just listen to it. I don't think there's a call-in number on that one. But Andy really has this entire financial situation nailed down. He's an economist. He's very good. He's an alarmist. But I'll tell you, he tells it the way it is, and you should listen to him, because if you're not, it may be too late. As a fellow said to me the other day when I was talking to him about the situation, and he was a very, very well-to-do person, he said, I want to make sure that I act soon enough that I don't act when it's too late. And when it's too late, you realize, oh, I got to do something. Oh, I got to do something. And then you know it's too late. And at that point, forget about it, folks. It's too late, you know. So really get yourself prepared. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Now, folks, I do not sell or give away or any email addresses. I use them for nothing. I will not send you stuff, solicitations. I don't use it at all. It just goes in there, in the little machine that I have, and it sends you a reminder service about our programs and what it's going to be about. I do ask that you do that so you'll know what's coming up and possibly be prepared to ask some questions. Okay. Well, today's broadcast is going to be littered with emails. Every once in a while, we get tons of emails, and then sometimes we get no emails at all. And I'm convinced that I guess the more fervent that I get in my broadcast, the more emails I get. You know, if I have a mild broadcast, I get very few emails. So, and I enjoy emails. I mean, I love emails. I love people to call in. And if you are going to call in, it's 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620 this morning. I know it's early. Oh, and one other thing, I am not certain at this point whether or not I'm going to have a broadcast on Super Bowl Sunday. And I know this is an international station, but so is the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is an international event, and, you know, people around the world. And when I broadcast, it will probably be around the two-minute warning. And I don't think there'll be many people who'll be on the computer, you know, listening to talk radio when when the Super Bowl is hanging in the balance. I just don't know yet. I'm going to make that decision. I'd like not to do it for once, because usually on a Super Bowl Sunday, and I've been through three Super Bowl Sundays with this program so far, and I am just wondering if, you know, if it is a tight game and I get involved looking at it, you know, my mind is going to be split in two places. And I'm not a football watcher, by the way. I'm not a football fan hardly at all. If I watch a game or two a year, that's a lot. I usually watch the end of a game if it's a team that I, back in the old days, I used to root for, you know, like the New York Giants, you know. Actually, I'm an Oakland Raiders fan, for all you people in Kansas City who now hate me. And I'm an Oakland Raiders fan because the way they used to play back in the old days, Otis Sistrunk, you know, University of Mars, and they were a tough team, and I always enjoyed that. Anyway, but I just don't know, and I'll make that call probably today or tomorrow, and I'll put it on my blog. And also, by the way, I do put all our shows on the blog, and if and you can respond to it and send me messages. I didn't even know you could even do that, but I mean that's what a blog is for, obviously. And I post my shows on the blog. It's very nicely done, and then you can ask questions, and I can respond back to you. I'll try to look at that more often than I normally do. Okay, boy, time is clicking away, and we got tons and tons of emails. He says, here, this is from Chadwick in Missoula, Montana. Man, Missoula, Montana. Man, I love Montana. Oh, I love that state. He says, I enjoy your radio show. You make more sense than most. Well, thank you so much. I suppose I should ask a question. To what extent is China supporting the bailouts? How long do you think that they can finance our debt before the bottom falls out and we're knee-deep in depression? Can it go on forever? If not, why not? Boy, the $64,000 question, I think I sent you an email telling you this is a $64,000 question because no one knows. Let me put it this way. Debt is not good. Debt is never good. When we were young, we were told, you know, that debt's bad. In fact, in most religions, debt is frowned upon. And I mean, and there's a reason for it. Whenever you're in debt, you're enslaved to someone else. So we are now enslaved to China. Now, but most countries hold many treasuries right now. I mean, a host of treasuries, you know, in the billions and billions, and sometimes like China, near over $1 trillion. And what everyone is doing is they're all watching the exit. Every one of them is watching, and they watch it minute by second by second, because they don't want to be the last person out. If anything, they want to be the first person out. But they don't want to be considered the bad guy. They don't want to see a collapse of the entire monetary system. So everyone's holding on to their treasuries. They have their track shoes on. They have their eyes focused at the exit. And they're ready to sprint out the door. Now, I ask you, now knowing that, having that visual depiction in your mind, when you ask that question, you know, how long do you think this could last? We don't know. But we know one thing, it cannot last forever, because no one's going to do this forever, especially if it degrades. Now, if things get better, where, you know, the world is dynamic, you know, principles don't change, but, you know, other things change every nanosecond. The world is changing constantly, both monetarily, physically, geographically, everything. So if you look at it this way, if debt is not particularly good, regardless of your religious persuasion or not, but religion, if debt is not good, and everyone has their track shoes and their eyes are on that door, they want to be the first ones out. I mean, the first ones cashing in, you know, or cashing out, getting their money and running. The question is what do they get for their money? Well, they may get their currency, which may also collapse if our currency collapses. It's a situation no one likes. And you don't want to ever be in a situation that no one likes, because people feel that if I'm the first one out, screw the other guy, you know, I'll get my money, that's their problem, you know. So if you're in a situation like that, and it's dynamic, it's always changing, you know, when will it change? We don't know. But if the government continues to pile on debt and continues to sell the money, let me give you an example. This is from a newsletter that a friend of mine gave me this little excerpt. Hold on one second, please. From a newsletter, The Privateer. He read this to me, and I said I wanted to mention it on the broadcast. The Privateer is actually from Australia. It's an excellent newsletter, And he says, listen to this. Now, you have to understand how this money is made. It says, governments that want to finance their deficits through seigniorage. And seigniorage is the revenue from printing legal tender. That's all it is, all right? Do not simply print money, but use an indirect procedure. First, the Treasury authorizes government borrowing equal to the amount of the budget deficit, all right? Equal to the amount of budget deficit. Understand that. In other words, how much they need, they print, all right? And the correspondent quantity of new government bonds are printed and sold. This is what they call quantitative easing, by the way. If you ever hear the word quantitative easing, this is it, right? However, the new government bonds are not sold to the public. Instead, the Treasury requires that the central banks purchase the new bonds. The central bank pays for its purchase by printing new currency, which it gives to the Treasury in exchange for bonds. Now, you can imagine this convoluted process of printing money and having bonds and then selling these bonds eventually overseas to foreign countries. This is not good. This is not good at all. So your question is, how long will it last? Well, the only thing I can tell you, it won't last forever. And the more we more in debt, the more quantitative easing we have, the closer people get to that door. And they're getting really close to that door now. I personally have very little money tied up in dollar-denominated assets because I don't want to sit there and look at that door. I would rather lose a little money or make no money, but know that if everyone heads for the door, it affects me very little, or I may even profit by it. Then you go on. And you ask the question, well, why can't it go on forever? Because it's like lending money to someone who you know can't pay it back. If you lend some money to somebody who you know can pay it back and pay the interest and whatever, you know, you'll continue to lend the money. Once you feel that they cannot lend it back, then you say, sorry, no more. Now, once we start doing that, once people start backing off, which they're doing now, right? It's a matter of either backing off, and they're all watching each other now, folks. Remember that. They're not doing this individually. They're all watching each other. Once they back off, and they're looking at everybody else, and they're keeping the other eye at the door, you know? You know, you don't want to be there. Chadwick, that's an excellent question. It's a tough one. It's a real tough one because no one knows. That's the $64,000 question, and that's the fear. That's why people are gravitating to precious metals, to commodities. People are buying agricultural stocks because they know that will fluctuate with a falling dollar. Thank you very much for that one. All right, here's one. This is from my friend Tom from Chile. Tom, thank you so much. Nice hearing from you again. I hope everything is fine. He says, he has an article here about, and it has a link. And he says, a young crook to replace the old one. This guy didn't even pay his taxes. I guess he's talking about Geithner. I have no faith whatsoever in the United States system of government. It is just a haven for crooks. How could I disagree with you, Tom? How could I disagree with you? And what I'd like to say is that, you know, Blagojevich is being crucified, you know? I think the guy should be let off. The guy should be let off. I mean, what the heck did this guy do wrong? He's doing exactly what all the politicians always do. And now the politicians in Washington are lying to us. I mean, they're outright lying to us regarding this bailout package. Or a stimulus package. They're using it for all sorts of crap, which we're going to go into in a minute, right? And they're stealing our money. Well, these guys are crooks well beyond Blagojevich. They should all go. Fire the bums. We should fire all those bums. Okay, I have one here, again, one from Tom, but I'm going to say this one is calling the windfall profit tax on a retirement. We don't have time for that one this morning, Tom. We'll maybe do a program on that one. And here's another one. He says, reason I haven't written is that I see no good news to report, and the Obama camp seems intent on repeating the mistakes of the last administration. I cannot agree more with that. The fact that the incoming Treasury guy came from the Federal Reserve, which is the root cause of all our problems, says it all. And I agree there. And all that bailout money did not go to fix the problems. A lot of stealing going on, and nobody cares to investigate. I really feel sorry for young people of high school and college age. but soon they will be worrying about the national conception and won't have time to ponder on the loss of democracy. I am actually thinking about moving back to the United States, he says. In West Virginia, I can probably afford to own a little chunk of land before your friend Tom. Hey, Tom, I'd like to know why you're going in the wrong direction. Everyone's leaving. Thanks, Tom. Well, if you do, you got to look me up or I'll look you up. We got to get together, okay? I'll buy you a beer or something or a soda, whatever you like to drink. And this is from, this is from Mike. Mike, let's see, where's Mike from? I don't know where Mike is from. Anyway, Mike says, hi, Joe, enjoy your show. Oh, hey, Joe, thanks for the show. I just found you yesterday, Saturday the 24th, and January, I listened to your Obama coronation rebroadcast at least 10 times before getting the email list notification that the Sunday show was about to air. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you continue to be one, a listener, and I hope you contribute. Please feel free to call in. I found your show as a result of purchasing my latest gadget, an iPhone. Yay! Yeah, I have an iPhone, too. The unlimited data package they require when you purchase, along with the ability to spawn applications like Shoutcast Radio, has enlightened me to the pleasure of streaming radio from anywhere in my pocket at any given time. You're live right now, he said, and I'm not going to call tonight. I'm 37-year-old, single male, given living in Baton Rouge. Oh, Baton Rouge, who's wondering what most of us are right now about now. What can we do? We are in trouble. Well, I think he goes on and he asks, well, what are people to do at this point in time? Well, you know what? It's out of our hands. I think you have to be philosophical, because everybody is at a different stage of life. Some people have children at home and whatever, but you have to look at things from the perspective of how could I live with nothing. I mean, you have to take that approach. How can I live with nothing? For example, I'm a minimalist. I mean, if you give me a backpack and a nice tent, I like a nice tent, a small tent, but a nice tent. You know, put me on the road, you know, I'm a happy camper. Just give me something good to read, and I'm a happy camper. I really don't like things. You know, so I'm kind of fortunate. Now, I have a lot of things. I have a lot of junk, a lot of stuff, as George Carlin used to say, the late George Carlin, you know, like everybody else. But really, they don't make me happy. I mean, I can live with very, very little. I want very, very little. And you have to learn to live with nothing. And he said, that's the start. And then you start need to get away from currency that is worthless. Let's say the toilet paper currency of the United States. And I wish I had a better answer for you, but depending on your circumstances, you know, if you have lots of money in cash, I say go out and buy yourself things of value, things of tangible value, and get out of dollar-denominated assets. That's what everyone is doing. I mean, the smart people are doing, at least they're taking portions of it out. All right, this is the last one, I think. And this is from John. And John, I don't know where you're from, but John, thank you very much. I was discussing politics in a chat room style. Oh, he talks about abortion here. And he said, but it hit me suddenly, I replied. They say men could become pregnant. If men could become pregnant, abortion would always be legal. As if to say that abortion was prohibited at times only because men don't have to go through pregnancy. But it hit me. But hit with a sudden inspiration, I replied, but it is not the woman who has the abortion. It is the unborn child that gets aborted. And you're absolutely right. Abortion is one issue, I'll be honest with you, I steer away from intentionally, and I'm very vocal about me staying away from it. And the reason for that is because it's laced with so much in our culture, in the way we're brought up, what culture we're brought up in. I mean, each country has its own culture regarding abortion, their perception of life, of death. For example, we here in the United States talk about the soul and stuff like that. Some people don't believe in that, and it's a real tough subject. And I guess I'm a fence sitter on this one. I'd say obviously, if a woman is 8 months pregnant, no, she shouldn't have an abortion because the kid can live on its own. But on the other hand, I say, well, you know, since I am not of the religious persuasion, I hope I'm not insulting anybody, but I'm not of religious persuasion. A group of cells to me, you know, 3 days after being conceived, I don't think is a person or really has life either. So, you know, I sit here and I throw up my hands. I say, I'm going to avoid that conversation. All right, we only have 10 minutes. This is part one, because this can take on a life of its own. I can do this station forever. And now we have a caller. Very good. I'm never going to get to things today. I'm glad to have a caller, though. Good morning, caller. Area code 417, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Shalom, my fellow great American. This is Rabbi D.F. Uchel, and I'm calling from Southwest Missouri.
Southwest Missouri.
First time for me to be listening to your show.
Thank you.
I just finished two of my broadcasts that I do early in the morning. I thought I'd hear who else is getting up early and getting the juices flowing. You got some great stuff. I'm sorry that you're a little squeamish about the pro-life issue.
Well, what is your first name again?
Yeah, Rabbi D.F. Uchel.
Oh, boy,
Uchel.
I'm going to have a hard time. Rabbi Bea? Did I say that correctly?
Rabbi, of course, is the title. My last name is Uchel.
Oh, Rabbi. U-K. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I got you now. I'm awfully sorry. Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I think we get hung up on terms. For example, we say pro-life, the other one is pro-death. I think so much is terminology, and when we get hung up on the terminology, we don't listen to one another. We're not listening, and this is a big problem because we all have different definitions. The definition of life is different for everyone. The actual progression into death is different for everyone. I mean, and it's so emotionally charged and so personal, obviously, that whenever we discuss this issue, you know, it's not like talking mathematics. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. And we can understand that. We can all look at it and we can count it. We get emotionally in charge, and I'm not pro-abortion. I don't think there's anyone pro-abortion. I think this becomes a matter of definition and where we stand as far as what we believe in our belief system. And it just gets so complicated. It is a neurological problem because we cannot speak the same language. And Rabbi, that's my problem with it. And that's why I steer away from it. It's one thing I stay away from.
Yeah, and I understand that. It's sometimes issues that are at the visceral levels are difficult for us to talk about. You probably have heard, as many have, that if you want to be polite in community, don't talk politics, don't talk religion, and don't talk whatever the third one was. I forgot. Perhaps sex. I'm not sure. But the truth of the matter is, in all three of those areas, they are at the heart of life. And I would ask you the simple question that I ask everyone when we're talking about life issues. Who or what is the source of life? Who or what is the source of life?
You know, excellent question, and I guess we can agree to the end of time, and we can disagree to the end of time on that, and I wouldn't even know how to answer that. I just don't, you know. Let me tell you the way I look at life, and I read this in a book one time about the progression of the Earth. You know, there's a big book about, you know, they went on. I think it was Jared Diamond's book, you know, about guns, germs, and steel, about, you know, the progression of man and whatever. But you know, it made a good point. He said, you know, we're made up of a bunch of atoms, and these atoms really don't care. When we die, the atoms are still there. They just regroup and become something else. I mean, you know, and when you read, and don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying life or anything like that, but I'm just saying that once your definitions become so difficult to grasp and to understand, and there's no common ground, and it's, so if you look at life as atoms, you know, and you're a group of atoms and my atoms, in fact, your atoms and my atoms are exactly the same, believe it or not, exactly the same. There's not a scintilla piece of difference in either one. They just group differently, you know, and when you look at it that way, your perspective on life may change. So I can't answer that question. I just can't.
Well, let me ask it a different way, Joe, if I may.
Sure.
If you were to look at one at two different paintings that, based on what you were looking at from a list, a little bit of a distance, they look and appear to be the same. But one is painted by Picasso, and one I painted.
Yeah.
As you get closer to the paintings, do you think you'd be able to distinguish the difference?
I guess if I was an art expert, yes. Me, I'm culturally illiterate. I wouldn't. I mean, personally, I wouldn't be able to, but if I knew something about paintings, yes, I would.
Well, you wouldn't have to know anything about painting. All you'd have to know is that the rabbi is kind of a stick figure painter. He doesn't have any of the skill about it. And so
from a distance,
it might appear, because I splashed some colors on the canvas, that they may appear to be the same, but as you get closer, you begin to see the difference between one who has creative genius and one who's just slopping stuff together.
Yep.
The issue about life is exactly the same. We can assume that we are just in an atom soup and we're all the same, but the truth of the matter is that the very structure of yours and my atom that makes you look different from me, although we have some similarity, I'm a little bald on the top like you, but you have a much wider smile than I do, and I have a little bit of hair on my face that you're shaving off on a daily basis. But it's clear from anyone looking at us from up close that we, in fact, are different because God made us uniquely. You only have about 3 minutes left in the show, Joe. And
yeah, I know. In fact, I got 2 minutes to go. I'd love to could we continue this conversation? I'd love to continue this conversation. But let me just say one thing, and then I have to go because I'm just going to close down the station. I never got to my subject, by the way. But in fact, no, just twice a week. Just twice, because I don't have the time. But I may look at the painting and find out that you were much better than Picasso.
No, there's a possibility, right?
I mean, you cannot say there's no possibility. There's a possibility I look and go, hey, this guy's not Picasso. He's a heck of a lot better. I mean, there's a possibility. I'm just saying there's a possibility. So I'm just saying that, see, it just depends on perspective.
My mother might say that, Joe, but you would.
I agree. Okay. Listen, I was not going to have a program on Sunday. I still may have a program on Sunday after Super Bowl. What do you think? So, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Should I not have a – I'm at 8 o'clock at night, you know, in the evening. Should I not have a program on Sunday?
You should only have a program if it's about the Cardinals and Kurt Warner.
Okay. Rabbi, please.
If you want to talk about the Steelers, just go home.
No, I'm not a Steelers fan.
Thank you for letting me participate on your show.
Thank you so much.
We have other conversations as well.
Yes, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Bye-bye now. Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyway, we never got to our subject. Holy smoke. Never got to our subject. Oh, boy. Oh, I love that conversation. I wish we were on for 2 hours now. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberty to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. Your ride is now controlled, and that isn't any more fun. You are now a subject of the training wheels. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." And now, folks, I may have a program Sunday evening live at 8 o'clock, and I really hope maybe I should do that Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Time. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.